The Gospel of Luke, we just heard, proposes a story full of movements and dynamism on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Luke's passage takes us to the mountain, God's favorite place to meet with those God has chosen to unveil to them God's vision and plans for his people and the world. Up in the mountains, God meets with his messengers to impart instructions. And from the mountains, God makes his will to be known and his voice to be heard. And it is when we are capable to climb up to the top of the mountain in our spiritual journey that we can hear God's voice high and clear. Mary and Elizabeth are there, all the way up in the hill, the physical and the spiritual one. So I invite you to think that this is a Sunday of movements in the context of this liturgical season, not as a Sunday of passive waiting. Luke tells us that not long after Angel Gabriel visited Mary to declare God's plan for her, Mary set out on a journey to the mountain to visit her relative Elizabeth. In a careful reading of Luke's account of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we can find sufficient reasons to conclude that the two women had not seen each other for at least the last 6 months prior to Mary's visit to Elizabeth. What happens at the encounter between Mary and Elizabeth unleashes a great discourse filled with a profound pronouncement that came from the mouth of Elizabeth and Mary, surrounding the entire scene with the mysterious presence of God's Holy Spirit. This account of Luke also lays out the foundations for the theological argument about God's intention to make new things, interrupting one more time the status quo, starting with the recognition of the importance of the voice and the prophetic presence of women in God's new vision for the world. Mary's visit to Elizabeth is particularly special, and she recognizes it. Maybe for that reason, Maria's haste. Luke wants his readers to observe the detail of Mary's urgency to see Elizabeth. She left in a hurry. Whether she went to visit Elizabeth seeking for advices or to offer assistance, we don't know. What we know, though, is that it is natural to us to feel this kind of sense of urgency when we are in search of news or we have exciting news to share. In Mary, these two conditions are met. She is seeking for news, and she is caring news. The mystery surrounding Elizabeth's pregnancy becomes a powerful enough reason to awaken and ignite Mary's curiosity. Mary, on the other hand, she has an exciting story to tell. The encounter with the angel Gabriel and the event of her own pregnancy. These are not two separate stories, but are woven by the same and unique action of God. The same way that many of our stories are connected, although we think that they have very little in common. The story of Luke leads us to believe that something extraordinary happens at the moment that Mary arrives at the house of Elizabeth. What anyone could have predicted as a series of kisses and hugs between two cousins who love each other and haven't seen each other for a while becomes a profound manifestation of the Spirit. And in true words of Mary and Elizabeth, the words that came from them bring to the present of this story of Luke the voices and aspirations of the prophets of the Hebrew people and summarizes in a single act the hope of the people of God, especially the hope of the poor and the faith of those who await the coming of the Messiah. When Elizabeth says, "How have I deserved that you come to me, the mother of my Lord?" she is prophesying under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth talks about what she has not yet heard and has not seen. When in her responses to Elizabeth, Mary pronounces the words we know now as the Magnificat, Mary also speaks under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, in the Magnificat, Mary begins by paraphrasing the prayer of Hannah, mother of the prophet Samuel. "My soul rejoices in God. In God I feel full of strength. Now I can respond to my enemies because I feel happy with his help." Luke brings not one, not two, but three voices of women to the center of the story of the incarnation in the first chapter of his gospel: Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary. Those three voices not only speak for the women of that time, but for the women of all times, races, and cultures. This perspective of Luke is particularly vital in the practice of the church and faith communities today, since our ability to be effective in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus goes hand in hand with our ability to include all voices in what we do. And we must pay particular attention to those voices that we normally do not consider valuable or important, because in those voices, we can also find messages of salvation. In the gospel we heard today, Luke captures a special moment, and we may not want to miss it: Mary's visit to the house of Elizabeth up on the hill, the leap of John Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth when John heard the voice of Mary, the words of a surprised woman that Elizabeth pronounces, recognizing in them both the Savior and the woman who carries him, and the liberating song that springs from the lips of Mary, the Magnificat. Nothing is fortuitous here. Everything responds to a plan very well articulated by God, in which each actor plays an important role masterfully. We also have part in this plan. We are invited by God to execute our part. Are we ready to join our voices to those of Hannah, Elizabeth, and Mary? What will be our song? From what place are we going to sing it? With whom? And to whom? Every time we read or hear the Word of God anywhere, we are before the possibility of getting in touch with the good news. Good news that is not exclusively for us, but is given to us to share with others. This is the way we are in communion and in solidarity with others. Maybe that's part of the meaning of Mary's haste and the symbol of the mountain in this story. The good news should be spread quickly and from places where others can hear it. In the text of Luke that we read today, the place of dissemination of the good news is the mountain. Here in the church, our place of diffusion is the temple, the pulpit, the Sunday school classrooms, and the parish hall, among others. Where and to whom do you proclaim the good news in your daily life? As you know, today we are coming to the conclusion of this Advent. Tomorrow, we celebrate services of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Has this event prepared us to go up with Mary and Elizabeth to the mountain, to join our voices with theirs and sing a new song of hope for all, especially for the most vulnerable and marginalized and forgotten, for those who flee their countries for the hunger and those persecuted for violence, for those who seek asylum in our borders and those who are at risk of being deported, for those who live the horrors of domestic violence and suffer under the weight of discrimination, for those who do not find the courage to proclaim the truth that heals and liberates. Then we repeat one more time the words of Mary. Proclaim, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, because he has looked at the humiliation of his servant. From now on, all the generations will congratulate me because the powerful has done great works for me. His name is holy, and his mercy reaches his faithful from generation to generation. Amen.